It's time for Answers Party Line today for your Monday. That would be September the 16th, 2019. Answers Party Line is brought to you by Wimmer Opticians of St. Cloud, Atlas Family Chiropractic of Waite Park, CHI Health at Home. Sun shining. It's going to be a very nice day. 84 the high temp with a mix of clouds and sun, more sun than clouds at the moment. Those south winds at 10 to 15. Then for tonight, down to 68 clouds. And then tomorrow, 82 and some storms possible. Southerly winds 10 to 20. Tomorrow night, 66. More thunderstorms likely. By Wednesday, 77. Maybe some scattered thunderstorms yet early in the morning. And after that, probably cloudy. But we'll see what happens after that. But right now, enjoy that sun. We have a temp of 61. Southeast winds at 6. Humidity at 90. No. We're at 68. 68 degrees. My machine just refreshed in front of me. 68 degrees. Southeast winds at 8 miles an hour and humidity at 90%. So there you go. Some quick weather. Answers Party Line again brought to you by Wimmer Opticians of St. Cloud, Atlas Family Chiropractic, Waite Park. CHI Health at Home in studio with me from the Melrose School, Superintendent Greg Winter. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
Happy 2019-2020 school year for you.
Start of the school year. It's hard to believe we're at September 16th already.
Is it going fast for you already?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going fast. You know, the school year, you know, just kind of get the ball rolling, everything the day after Labor Day. And, you know, you get those few fall sports in, some of them right before the school year. And, you know, you get a chance to see some of those. And then you get hit with the reality. The student's actually walking in the building, and you hope everything is ready to go. Fortunately, with the staff that we have, very, very few issues this year. You always have a little scheduling issue here or there, or a locker issue here and there, but nothing really dramatic. But you kind of look ahead, and we have homecoming coming up on September 27th, and here we're less than 2 weeks away from that already.
So very fairly smooth, a couple little teeny bumps, but other than that.
I mean, nothing that's it's just minor, you know, minor issues, and you kind of reflect back 2 days after, or 2 days, 2 weeks after school, so seems like 2 days, 2 weeks after school has started, and it's kind of one of those things when I meet with my admin team once a month, we kind of look back and say, boy, is there anything we could have done differently? How did this go? We did do a significant change this year. Like many schools, we have a one-to-one initiative. Like many schools, we use Chromebooks. This year, we are one-to-one initiative in Chromebooks in grades 4 through 12, so that's a significant amount of Chromebooks to hand out in the fall, and we're certainly thinking about next year, maybe letting the students keep them over the summertime for whatever different reasons, to continue education components over the course of the summer. And what we had done in the past is we waited till open house the week before school would start, and on that Wednesday night of open house, everybody can come in and get their Chromebooks. Well, students 4 through 12, you're talking almost 900-some students, and, you know, chaos ensues. And what we did this year, we offered 4 opportunities before that open house where people can come in and get their Chromebooks to alleviate the lines, and did all the registration online and all that stuff for it. And boy, I tell you, that went really smooth.
Okay.
And what it also helped is what we just found out is that very few students now, a week or two in the school, there's very few students that don't have their Chromebooks. Now, having a charged Chromebook coming to school is a whole different matter, but they do have their Chromebooks and their chargers and all those different things. But you do some reflection every year to say, you know, because you want the year to start out good. I mean, you don't want a bad start to the year, mm-hmm. and sometimes there's things that can happen outside your scope of control, but you always want to make sure that, you know, what happened this year, what can we do better next year. But really, the discussion, as I said earlier, there wasn't a whole lot we could. You know, we're always going to kind of tweak it a little bit, but other than that, it's been off to a pretty good start.
Here's a goofy question, Greg. You got a Chromebook tech support team on staff, or?
We do have, for a school our size, we have a technology coordinator, and he has an assistant to work with it. What we're going to be, Chromebooks, they're, you know, other than the screen,
a few things on
the keyboard, it's a web-based device.
Yeah.
And once again, I've said this many times, I am in the cult of Apple. I have an iPhone, I've got an Apple computer, I've got all those things. iPads were kind of a they were kind of a nice, shiny tool when they first came out. You could put some neat apps on it and see the constellations at night and the periodical chart. I'm just looking back to some, back to some of the things that I had. But, you know, one thing iPad didn't have, it didn't have a keyboard.
Right.
And people, you can buy that after the fact. Well, yeah, you can. And it didn't have an operating system. It didn't have what Google has in terms, or what Chromebooks have in terms of Google Drive, where you can do all the things that Microsoft could do. And nothing against Microsoft or Apple, but it became just that pretty simple little durable tool that is really good for collaboration. It's very good for research. And I don't mean to turn this into a commercial for Chromebooks any means.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I always think back, and I've said this many times. When you look back in education, and I'm starting my 30th year in education this
year. Congrats!
I was just pondering upon just this morning as I was driving here 30 years ago when I was out in Lisbon, North Dakota for 1 year before I came, got a position in Minnesota. And I was coaching football at the time, and new teacher, even kind of reflecting upon these new teachers that come in this year, our new staff that came in with our retirements from last year, just trying to develop that mindset of what they were going through. And, we all talk about the older we get, the faster time goes. And, I tell you, it doesn't seem like it was just yesterday, but it doesn't seem like it was that long ago that I don't think I've forgotten that mindset of what it was to transition out of college and being actually in front of a classroom and being responsible for teaching students. And it's been a good ride so far in terms of my career, and I'm very happy where I'm at right now. But it's every year you're dealing with that transition, and now with the Chromebooks, in that 30 years you thought about something. Was there really something over the course of my 30 years that really changed education?
Yeah.
Certainly computers themselves have changed education, but the Chromebooks being that portable device that you can hook into Wi-Fi and do your schoolwork and do your research and have a keyboard. And, the biggest thing if people have never worked on a Chromebook or on Google is to collaborate on documents. So I can open up a document and I could share it with you. We both have access to that document.
Right.
We both can work on it together. And in the end, whenever I get done with the document, I can share it with my teacher and they can evaluate it and do the, that's a pretty big paradigm shift. I mean, I can't think of really anything else at all, except probably for the opaque projector in the 1950s, which was way before my time. And I'm certainly joking about that. But
Yeah. There
were teachers that were still using that when I started teaching, that big machine where you slid a book under it and it projected it up under the wall. And, you look at just where we've come in 30 years, but, even more importantly, where we've come in that teacher-student relationship, which is even more and more important today.
Yeah, I was just thinking liquid paper must have gone out of business because, I had a typewriter, a dictionary, a thesaurus, I think a pencil and a notepad to do my writing in school.
Yeah, I still, just on paper documents, we don't use liquid paper. We got those little roller things where you take the cap off and it rolls something on there in case you do something wrong. But, like I said, we have the technology that comes into place, but one of the other things that we really continue to focus on is the developing that very productive and positive teacher-student relationship, and when we get the activities, the coach-athlete relationship. And that's one of the things we really decided to focus on that this year's fall workshop. Excuse me, last spring when we were doing some planning with our staff development committee and within our mid-team committee, kind of taking a look at, having a speaker come in. And we hadn't had a speaker, I think it had been a few years even prior to my coming to Melrose, that they had a speaker. And one of the administrators had seen the speaker at a different workshop they were at. It was a guy by the name of Joe Beckman. He touts himself as the happy caveman. And I think I had never seen him speak before. And I think one of the reasons why he chooses that is not that he's against technology or against 21st century society as we live in now, but sometimes getting back and thinking and reflecting upon some of those earlier defining relationships that we have with people. And he really talked about the idea of how teachers can gain that positive relationship with students, because as much as I spent the last probably 10 minutes talking about Chromebooks, we know even more, the most important thing in that classroom is the relationship between the teacher and the student. There is nothing more important than that. And I think we've done a pretty good job over the last probably 20 years of taking a look at that transition. I know a lot of colleges have done a very good job of really promoting that, but we certainly do need to continue to promote that. Because what we're seeing is we're seeing a generation, and when I talk about this, I'm not talking about the whole generation of Gen X or millennials, whatever you want to call it, but they've been born and raised in the era of social media, and he talked a lot about, you know, cell phones and social media, and he talked a lot about cell phones. You know, when you take a look at it from whatever different direction, our cell phones, are they a tool? Or are they a companion? So something that he really wanted to focus on, and he really had a pretty good message to start out the staff with and gave him a lot of things that I think really hit home in terms of when those students start walking into the classroom.
Well, I'm kind of curious what he says about that. We'll come back from our break, and we'll pick up where we left off with Joe Beckman, the happy cave. Does he go to all these? Is he from this area? Or
I don't know exactly where he's from. He's probably, okay. I know he's from the Midwest someplace. Sure, I don't know if he's from Minnesota or not. Okay.
Be interesting. I want to find out what he said about the whole cell phone as a tool versus a companion, especially a social companion. We'll be right back with some news, information, more from Superintendent Greg Winter, Melrose School District. That's our topic this morning. It is 9:30. It's Chasm Radio. Time for news. And so our party line continues, visiting with Superintendent Greg Winter. Melrose Schools left off talking about a fall workshop that you had a speaker, Joe Beckman. He's called the Happy Caveman because he kind of talks about the past compared to now technology.
The focus on the human connection.
Ah, yes.
And certainly in education, that's very important. You know, as a school, any school district, you focus on education of students and focus, you know, education and standardized test scores and all these kind of things. But many schools, including our own school, they were really taking a look at the social emotional development of students. The reality is, you can argue it either way. Are kids different today than kids back then? You know, I don't know if they're different, but I know their schedules are much more busy. There's just so much going on in their lives right now that sometimes they forget to take that moment to develop those human relationships. And with the advent of social media, it's one of those things where, you know, as he talked about the idea of a cell phone becoming a tool versus a companion, that sometimes those students lose out on those, you know, on those attributes that allow them to function with other human beings. And that's why he kind of talked about focusing on that human connection, even though, you know, once again, we talk about technology and the Chromebooks and all those kind of things. Because of those kind of things, we really need to refocus on the development of human relationships and how to function, you know, especially with young adults, with older adults. You know, if I walk through the hallway, even after 2 years there, you know, I've developed some good connection with the students who know me, understand me, Mr. Winter this, and all those kind of things. But, you know, there are some kids that just, it's not just Mr. Winter, the superintendent, it's looks like some middle-aged bald guy that I think is a superintendent, and it's like, boy, you know, you kind of don't talk to adults, and you don't talk to that guy, where I know a lot of students, they'll come up and start talking to me, and, you know, develop good relationships over the last couple of years through a lot of different educational functions and those type of things, and, you know, it's those kind of really characteristics that you want your children to develop to be able to function in a world where there's going to be adults, and eventually you're going to get out there in the workforce and develop that, but... you know, I'm not anti-social media, but as he talked about, we got to make sure that we understand where that cell phone is. It's a tool, but it's not a companion.
Yeah, if you don't have social skills, you don't have anything, I think.
Yes, yes.
And I remember you're talking about how approachable you are compared to when I went to Swanville. I was thinking the superintendent of our schools at the time. I remember just being scared of the guy. Didn't want to be around him.
You know, and that's my wife talks about that all the time, you know. Sometimes she'll say, you know, sometimes you're not that approachable of a person. I don't know if it's the way I look or the way I carry myself. You know, those people know me, you know, I'm a pretty friendly guy. And, you know, I always prove my wife series wrong, because if we're ever out in public, we could be sitting there and there'll be groups of people and somebody will come and ask me for help.
Oh.
Could you come take this picture for us? Or could you help me find this? I always tell my wife, if I'm so unapproachable, how come everybody comes up to me all the time? Well, maybe you look like you're smart and you know a lot of different things. I said, well, I don't think I look like that at all, But I think it's just, you know, young people today, don't let social media be your life, drive your life. And we're going to talk about some of those other elements. And if I could just switch to,
sure, go ahead.
You know, just the irony of talking about this at the same time in our school system this year, we're investing in a product called Aptogee. And what Aptogee is a kind of a play on an application for your phone, is that in the old days, not the old days, in the very recent days, all schools had websites. And so as a person, you could go to the website and you could see what's going on and you could see what the schedule is and you could see what was for lunch today and who do we play this sport tomorrow. And what happened was, is as people, getting back to that whole cell phone issue, as people got cell phones, what they finally found out is, well, I've got a cell phone and I can go to the internet and I can go onto their website, and now I can, you know, now I'm trying to navigate their website on a cell phone. Well, that doesn't work too well. And so what we're doing is, and we're not the first ones to do it, this is not the first time through, is we're developing an app for our phone, which eventually anybody in the school district, they can go to either their Apple phone or Android phone, and they can go and they can download the app on their phone. And so now, even though this app is a reflection of the website, now it's a really easy navigation through it, so you can see what's for lunch today. You click on it. You're not going to the website, but this app is a reflection of that website, but it's an easy to read, easy to scroll down so that you can find that information because, you know, as I was talking about earlier, the reality is many people have these cell phones, and that's just the way it works out. But with this Aptogee, it's going to be a very easy navigation to get to that point in time. And it's also going to be the best component of it is staff at the school, including myself, principals, and other teachers when I get on board, they're going to be able to post things to this app. It's called ThrillShare. Mm-hmm. And you can see what the second grade students in so-and-so's class doing. You can see what's going on in the football game last Friday night. Myself and the principals were already kind of playing around with it. The app isn't available yet, but it's available that we can see it.
Okay.
And we're just kind of playing around with it. Let's see how easy it is to post pictures and so on to it.
Well, when's the estimated time that it'll be
ready? You know, I think by the end of the month, we'll have it built. Because it's able to take some information from our old website. We have a lot of updates of different things we have to do. We have to change some of the protocols we do in our district. For example, our school calendar. I talked about it earlier. We have to convert our school calendar to a Google calendar so it can read the calendar and those type of things. Yeah. But it's just going to be at your fingertips, what's going on at the school. Hey, here's some neat things that are going on. But where's the volleyball match tonight? Where's the tennis match next week? Is the football game home? It's just going to be really quick, easy things that you can take a look at. And also with the staff and the school board, very easy ways to get in contact.
It's like Cliff Notes for your school district.
Cliff Notes, but also I think it's expansive Cliff Notes that really will give you an idea of essentially all the great things that we're doing in our school district today.
All right. I'll let you lead into whatever else you want to talk about because of our time here.
Okay. We just want a quick word on our food program that we have for students. We started running it last year. We have a backpack program that on the weekends, we put a backpack in a student's locker for proper nutrition throughout the weekend. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but many people know that there's a lot of our students that, you know, one of the things that's not whether they get enough to eat, but whether it's proper nutrition, which is very important for growing, developing minds and bodies, etc. So we're doing that this year, hoping to expand upon it. And anybody who wants to donate to that cause, Von Glazner, one of our head football coaches, teacher in the middle school, he's kind of the spearhead for that. You can contact him or Robbie Anderson, middle school principal. A lot of great needs out there, and we're always looking for extra donations for that. I talked a little bit about it last year. We didn't get a chance to get it off last year, but excuse me, our super mileage activity is going this year.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Swartz, he's the advisor for it, and just a great program. I've been involved in this in a couple different previous school districts there that basically kids are building a car, and the whole point of it is how great a gas mileage you can get. And it culminates in a competition this spring at the Brainerd International Raceway, and some of these cars get 700, 800, 900 miles per gallon. You know, it just takes in all facets of the engineering and body work and mechanical and a lot of teamwork that involves with it. It's an actual race team and you have pits. And I mean, it's just a great activity for that. Just a quick update on one of our building projects this year at our community services building, which currently houses our ALC. We did a lot of renovation there again because our West Central Ed staff, which is our special ed co-op, they are moving over there. And so we had to do some renovation of rooms. And there was an old kitchen area that was always there when I first came because I did some renovation. And it's the old kitchen as it was from 1969 when they moved over to the high school. And that was finally renovated. Mm-hmm. It was always, I don't know, personally, it was always kind of a thorn in my side. This junky kitchen was always there. And so now we got that fixed up, and it actually looks very, very nice.
Okay.
Our school-age child care is off and running. We talked about that last year. We offer school-age child care from 6:30 in the morning till 8 a.m. in the morning when school starts, and then from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. after school. It's all for, it's for preschool up to, starting with 4 years old by September 1st. It's a great program. We're still working on, I mean, this will be open even more than just when we have schools in session. It'll be open over like MEA and some of the breaks. And we're also hoping to get the planning in place that we'll be open the days where we have snow days and polar days. And I don't even want to talk about that right now. We can talk about that later. But we've got, we're working on developing summer programming for school-age children during the summer, starting the summer of 2020. Got the fall play coming up, senior matinee coming up. Fall musical is Once Upon a Mattress. Although Merritt Elliott retired last year as a teacher, she is on board as the director of the musical. So I'm sure a lot of people are happy about that with all the wonderful musicals she's put on over the years. But the senior matinee is coming up on Wednesday, November 6th. Seniors can contact community ed. There's brunch activities, meet with students and staff during the day. Then we got a dessert reception following the matinee. And just a lot of things going on.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mean to rush you. We got time to talk about those things more in detail as we go back and stuff. Okay. I know you wanted to cover the whole basketball coach situation.
Yeah, you know, I was a coach three different sports for 7 years, not all at the varsity level, but during my coaching experience when I was a teacher in New Prague, you know, we talked a lot about that human connection. We talked a lot about building those relationships. Jonathan Ruoff, our activities director, has done a very good job of working on developing that student-athlete concept, that you're a student first, then you're an athlete. Being a student is most important, but also focusing on, as an athlete, what are the mental skills and impact of growth and relationships that you need to develop, because those things, once again, they all feed into that bigger picture of what we do as a school system. And, you know, being a coach was sometimes, you know, well, not sometimes, especially being a varsity level coach, you know, it's over the years, I don't think anybody's going to argue. There's been just a lot of conflict with parents and community members. Everybody wants that winning team. Coaches gain a lot of criticism. You know, and I'm not just talking criticism on the court or when on the field or on the mat or the pool or when the event is going on. It's just that there's just always seems to be a lot of conflict unless you have a great winning program, and you're still going to have some of that conflict. Well, what's happened over the years is that there's always been the rare instance where you've had a group of parents or a parent that really want to get rid of a coach. And so what happens sometimes, they would bring up these allegations, you know, and I'll just make one up. So there's a coach, he's coaching a sport, and, you know, after the game, sometimes he has students come over and he serves them alcohol. Well, of course, you know, that story gets out. Didn't happen, but the parent's upset, brings up this story. And, of course, it's hard as an educator, whether you're a coach, teacher, administrator, someone brings up a false allegation, there's always going to be that core that, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, but there's going to be some that you say, well, boy, look at that coach is doing. Mm-hmm. And so this has gone on for a number of years, and finally, a coach in the state of Minnesota sued these parents and saying, you know, you can't say those things about me. And what happens is there has to be a determination in a legal court in the law of whether or not you're a public figure. Because if you're a public figure, you know, like the president, like the governor, like an actor, you can be criticized, and they can make, because you're a public figure, they can make up some of the stuff and get away with it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a public figure, you can't do that. And what the Minnesota State Supreme Court ruled recently is that coaches are not public figures. So if you make up an allegation, if you make up a false allegation to try to get rid of the coach can sue you personally. Mm-hmm. And in the past, that hadn't been the case. And you know, I just kind of throw that out as a cautionary tale that, you know, I know a lot of people probably don't follow this information as much as an administrator, superintendent, principal, or activities director would follow, but I would throw a cautionary tale to some parents out there. Be a little careful. You know, I'm not saying that you can't criticize a coach when they're, you know, coaching a kid or doing something like that. Be critical of their coaching skills. You certainly, everybody has a right to do that, whether it's right or wrong. But you want to be a little careful about making up stories.
To ruin their career.
To ruin their career, absolutely. And get them out of there.
Right.
The coach can now come back and sue you if the allegation is false. But that's not to say that there aren't issues out there that maybe parents know about a coach. You know, as administrators, we don't know until we find stuff out. And I'm not saying, I mean, the coaches, I think 99.9% of the coaches that work in schools in the state of Minnesota, great people, they're there for all the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every once in a while you get something that's going on there. But I think the criticism has just become so overwhelming amongst our coaches. And, you know, once again, our coaches are doing a lot of the great things that our teachers are doing in the classroom. Most of them are teachers in the classroom. And, you know, the reality is we want to develop a winning team. You want to win state champions. We've got our new billboard up outside of Melrose. Another billboard, another year, another state champions that focuses on our speech team that won the state championship last year. Those are great things. I mean, those are great things that kids will always remember. But it's also all those things that go into the development of that person, of that individual, during the course of practices and those type of things that, you know, that's what we want that positive focus on. And, you know, sometimes the criticism from the public can get overwhelming, but we just have to be careful that it doesn't bridge into that area of bringing forth false allegations. So it was just something I wanted to quickly talk about. It's nothing that I want to be a negative focus on our activities, but sometimes parents don't realize some of the changes that go on out there, especially with court cases. But I've said it many times, I'm very proud of our coaches and advisors, all the great things that they do, the competitive teams they always put out there, and the state championships that we win. But the bottom line is, you know, you talk to these kids years after they've been involved in sports and activities and speech and you name it, it's those character building things that are probably the most important.
Does this kind of also fall into the like category of superintendent or principal? Is that the
superintendent
same deal?
Is a public figure.
Yeah.
And I think most superintendents are pretty thick-skinned like me. I mean, you can't throw something out there so easily, you know, so easily that could be claimed to be false or something like that. I think that's always, once again, a cautionary tale to throw out there about criticizing probably somebody in the public. And, you know, even a famous actor or a president or something like that, you could still get sued back for that. It's just that it's a little bit more difficult because you're a public figure. And but it's just one of those things, you know, it kind of gets back to, you know, where we started here with talking about developing those human connections. And there's always going to be conflicts that are going to occur, but how do we get together and resolve those conflicts without the name calling, without the false allegations, of just coming to an understanding of the two parties that we're dealing with and how we can overcome those things.
All right.
But sports is, you know, certainly education is our primary function, but sports and other activities are such a great complementary programs that we offer to our educational program that they are at times inseparable in terms of what we do. And because of that, it all leads into the development of a positive young adult that hopefully we want to graduate from our schools eventually.
Greg, we had one listener question.
Yes.
Asking, what are the boundaries of the Melrose School District?
What are the boundaries? I'd have to post a map for you, but very simply, I mean, you go about halfway. If you go along the I-94 corridor, you're probably about a half a mile past Freeport on the east. You go up the Birch Lakes on the north. And some of those, I mean, I'm throwing some broad generalizations out there.
A rough outline.
Because there's some very jagged lines that go with that. And, you know, with Sauk Center to the west of us, and then we have Painesville to the south of us, and then Long Prairie Gray Eagle to the north of us. If you go on MDE's website, Minnesota Department of Education, and you just type in their school border, school boundaries, they'll bring a map up and you can show you all those different boundaries. I think, and I can't understand why what the question came about, but I would make a broad assumption that it probably has something to do with open enrollment, and because in our area, excuse me, we do have a lot of different open enrollment that occurs between us and Albany and Sauk Center, Long Prairie, Gray Eagle. We have some Swanville students, and this goes back and forth. And the way the law reads is that generally, with open enrollment students in terms of transportation, we can only meet them at our border. And I don't know if that's where the question is coming up. And certainly I would invite whoever put that in, they can give me a call if they want some further explanation on it. But we do have some quirky situations, and other districts have some quirky situations where we do have buses that go into the other districts. We don't like to do that. We don't like other buses coming into our districts, but sometimes it's a special ed issue. Sometimes it's a foreign exchange student issue, which is something that happened this year. But sometimes it's an agreement that came about a long time ago. For example, we do send one of our buses into the Long Prairie Gray Eagle system, into Gray Eagle, because some of those students had been going to Melrose School District even before Gray Eagle joined the Long Prairie School District. And it's just one of those things that has happened. But yeah, if you look on that map, it's a pretty, it's not defined by rivers or streams or the Oregon Trail whenever it was going through. It's just some really jagged lines that go around. But once again, you can go on the MDE website and they just type in their school district boundaries and it'll give you that map that'll find those boundaries for you.
Otherwise, everything's good with the facility in general? Everything's pretty decent?
We're working on a facility analysis this fall with an architectural firm, just to kind of take a look at where we are with facilities, and that takes a look at mechanical, it takes a look at architectural, it takes a look at space usage within your district. And as we are well aware, before I came here, the school tried to run a bond referendum at the time, and it didn't pass. The reality is there's those facilities that were meant to replace by that earlier bond vote, they haven't gotten better with time. The biggest thing is the pool. Talk about anniversaries, my 30th year in education. Our pool in our school now is 50 years old. And, 50 years ago, Woodstock, man landing on the moon, those type of things. It's 50-year-old technology, yeah. And it's interesting. I keep up on the websites, and I keep up on newspapers of different school districts, and our association, MSBA, sends us clippings of different articles. But I remember reading an article from the town I graduated from high school in, Perham, Minnesota, up in Ardentale County. And they're looking at replacing their pool in their community center. It's 25 years old.
Oh.
And I remember one of the movers and shakers in Perham talking about, yeah, it's important, this pool. That pool is 25 years old. The technology's changed some. It's just not up to date. It's not. Ours is 50 years old. So either our pool was built much better 50 years ago, it was better maintained 50 years ago, but it's a 50-year-old pool that, once again, the question of whether it has to be replaced or not, I think it's a pretty simple answer to that, but it's just a matter of how do we replace that facility. But even more importantly, the point of this facility analysis is to take a global look at our school system and see what else we need to do within our system.
Is this something that will be throughout the school year or just?
Yeah, the facility analysis, they're working on it right now. We're hoping it'll finish up sometime mid, late October.
Okay.
Then I'll take it to the school board, and the school board will just kind of take a look at some long-term forecasting of different things we have to do. And, running a bond or running a referendum, and you run a bond to build, you run a levy to learn. And we ran a levy my first year here to increase our financial resources for our educational programming, those type of things. So it's just going to be an understanding of, it's not, as we all well know, it's not a simple decision to run a bond or a referendum. And it's not a cheap decision either by any means. But it's one of those things that at what point in time do we replace something now that's just going to be more expensive to replace down the road? And in terms of how does it fit into our whole programming of our school system? Pools, we're just not running our swim teams in the pools. It's educational programming throughout the year within our FIED programs. It's swimming lessons in the summertime.
It's community usage.
Yeah. It's a community pool, and 50 years. Wow. It's had a good run.
And To be determined what yes. happens.
All right. Yes, to be determined.
Greg, it's always a pleasure having you here at the radio station. You're easy to get a hold of, very, very approachable.
Well, yeah, I'll continue to work on my public persona when it comes to that, but I prove my wife wrong every time we go out in public. They always come and ask me questions.
All right. Superintendent Greg Winter joining us here, Melrose School District. It's a minute past 10. We will have some news coming up, Chasm Radio.